This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bell.
Bell who?
Bell who is recording on his end?
Bell has been recording for the past 5 minutes and 24 seconds.
Ah, that will come in handy when I cut this together later.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how you doing tonight?
I don't know, man. Feeling a little despair.
Ooh, yeah.
Grief.
Darkness. Ta-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sad feelings. Ta-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Dead parents. Ta-na-na-na-na-na. Pretty sure it's Lego Batman, man. That's Lego Batman.
Oh, Lego Batman. Okay.
Yeah, you know, he's got to get the rage out. That's how he does it.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie. But hey, no, we're not here to talk about that movie. We're here to talk about The Flash. We got a new episode to talk with y'all about. Was it one of the greatest episodes of The Flash ever? No, it was not. But we're going to be talking about it this week, and that is okay, because it's a moment. We're going to talk about it. It's great. It's fine. Everything's fine ever at the CW. Yeah, the CW, TV, DC Universe, the Arrowverse, everything's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. How are Legends? Well, it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Just drive the knife in a little deeper there. Why don't you?
No. Like Batwoman. She's fine. No. We still got the Flash. We still got the Flash. We're here.
That's true.
Yeah.
But seemingly not for long.
The Arrowverse. Everything's fine. Why do you ask? All right, ladies and gentlemen. Deathstorm is here at the most appropriate time for the Arrowverse in many respects. So we'll be talking about this week's episode. Before we do, we want to thank those who are making this podcast happen over at patreon.com/TV Talk. They've tried to cancel us. Just like they canceled Batwoman. Just like they've canceled Legends. They're trying to cancel all the podcasts out there. The Legends TV Talks, the Batwoman's and the TV Talks, and the Arrows and the TV Talks. All of them canceled, but not Flash TV Talk. Why? Because we rebranded, became TV Talk, but also because you have kept us going over at patreon.com/TV Talk. Help to make this show happen over there. Again, that is patreon.com/TV Talk. Bell, you ready for it?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into the rundown. Episode 12 of season 8, Death Rises, directed by Philip Shapira and story by
Alex Boyd.
Bell, what happened to this episode?
Well, as Deathstorm attacks Caitlin, Flash arrives and strikes the entity with a Speed Force lightning, only to be easily repelled as Deathstorm makes his escape. He goes on a full-blown killing spree throughout the city with a growing body count, so Kramer mobilizes the CCPD. Cecile connects Star Labs' search systems to track Deathstorm, but he possesses her and demands Caitlin. After having a manifestation of Esperanza Garcia fight Allegra, he kidnaps Caitlin and announces his intention to make her his bride, but lets it go, stating she isn't ready. Team Flash deduces that Ronnie's grief was transported away by the Singularity and that it's been traveling through space for the past 7 years. Chester plans to modify the container that healed him in order to emit cosmic energy that can harm Deathstorm, and Frost volunteers to harness it. Meanwhile, Iris inexplicably returns. Her time sickness pulled her into the Still Force and saved her. However, it infects Dion, preventing him from seeing Iris' future, and he inexplicably vanishes. Sue is able to stop Iris from doing the same. That night, Eddie appears in her apartment.
Dun, dun, dun! Okay, Belle, you remember that movie, The Corpse Bride?
Yes.
Did you ever see it?
No.
It was a Tim Burton movie, and it was not the sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas, as I had been led to believe. But no, I didn't actually see it either. But yeah, no, I got regardless of having never seen the movie, I definitely got some Corpse Bride vibes here. It does seem like, you know, Deathstorm is revealed to be this kind of death entity, as we have been speculating for quite some time. He is not Ronnie. He's not Ronnie. That's very, very clear. But he's kind of latched on to Ronnie and kind of used Ronnie as kind of a way to manifest and have Caitlin and Team Flash bring him into the physical realm. Why does he want to kill everybody? Is he here to power up some sort of dark Black Lantern, you know, energy source or something like that? Is he trying to summon Necron? No, he's lonely. Yeah, he's sad. He's so lonely. He's all alone.
Look, space is very, 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 very big, and it's mostly empty. And so, you know, when you're out there, you got to imagine it's got to be kind of lonely.
He's alone, man. He's wasn't there like a, that was a song about that, right? The Starman in space, you're all alone up in space. That was a thing, right?
Yes.
The Moon Man in the space, and he's made of death.
Are you talking about the Rick and Morty episode where like the Moon Man song?
Yeah. But that was parodying. Who was that parodying?
It was parodying David Bowie.
David Bowie. Yeah, there's a David Bowie song
there's
about
a Starman waiting there for you. Something,
yes.
Something. I don't know the words to this tune.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's what it is. It's, there's a dead man waiting there for you. That's what we're dealing with, man.
So this is the astronaut that was sent into space. And he's dead now. he wants to come back and like wreak havoc on Mission Control for sending him to his doom.
Right. No, man, he ain't about that. He's out here trying to, you know, he's trying to get the swipes. He's trying to get Caitlin to swipe down for death. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to make a little something happen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like as you're wont to do as a death entity. I mean, come on. Yeah.
So here's my question: Is he going after Caitlin specifically because Ronnie was the vessel that was used here to kind of bring this creature into the physical realm? And so, and also, you know, we see Deathstorm feeding off of emotions. Is that the tie? Is that why Caitlin? Because there is kind of a question of like, you know, why Caitlin? I mean, why Caitlin?
I have to think that it is due to, because he was born from Ronnie's grief, and so there is like that bit of Ronnie in there, and like that grief was because he's not going to be able to spend the rest of his life with Caitlin. I mean, technically, he did kind of spend the rest of his life with Caitlin.
Well,
sort of died like immediately after getting married.
I was about to say. We were supposed to spend our lives together. We did. You did. It just ended really, really fast.
Yeah. We, you know, it was death do his part, but you just died.
Yeah, exactly. So, you were the one that kicked up that timetable. Yeah.
he was excited to, you know, spend the rest of his life with her. He just didn't expect it to be not nearly as long as he thought.
Yeah, exactly. Nailed it right there. You know, so many marriages end in divorce. He was like, not this one. Peace.
This one's going to end in cosmic calamity.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that has to be the link, right, for Caitlin.
Yes.
It's Ronnie's grief, and that grief was directed specifically at Caitlin. And so it makes sense to me. I'm that's my headcanon, and it's got to be right.
Well, you know, we see throughout this season continued return of faces that we've seen before, and this concept of, you know, this of Deathstorm feeding off of grief and manifesting and kind of creating this imagery to see the loved ones that have gone on by. Again, returns in this episode with Esperanza briefly returning. You know, it's interesting. I remember when she first appeared, mask off, which was like at the very tail end of her appearance, and it was weird to me. Do we talk about this?
Maybe.
Like, we got so used to just seeing her eyes and wearing that face mask. It's kind of like when you see what a podcaster looks like for the first time and you're like, really? You know, like, you're like,
oh, God.
Exactly.
What have I done?
Well, no, we don't look. Yeah, exactly. Like, she doesn't have quite that same reaction that people would if they saw our faces and be like, ah. Like, for her, it's like, oh, huh. You know, like, you just, I didn't expect her to look like that. And I kept on having to, like, who is this again? Esper, did they recast her? And then you have to kind of hold your thumb up so that you're covering like her chin. And you're like, oh, no, there she is. Yeah, I see it in the eyes. Esperanza, by the way, was way ahead of the mask trend.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, they should have thought about that and just brought her back. And they're like, hey, here's the villain. It works. It's already there.
It's
we don't
there.
Have to worry about the COVID protocols because, you know, the costume takes care of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She's like, which is sad, man. She survived COVID just to, how did she die again?
She
got like her head.
She got
twisted.
The surgery thing.
She got the surgery thing
to fix her like vocal cord throat thing.
The vocal, then, yeah, huh?
Gosh, how did she die? Somebody
how
killed
did
her.
She die? Somebody did kill it. She is dead though. She is dead. So anyway, yeah. She was here, and so it was nice to get a nice little return. Like again, this does kind of there's an interesting kind of theme to this season, which is, you know, everybody leveling up, but at the same time, there's also a reoccurrence that happens throughout with the appearance of loved ones gone by and the return of some fan favorites, as well as, you know, the hopeful return of potentially some other fan favorites as well, as we'll kind of get to. The future one imagines would be bright for this season, except, you know, people keep dying. We saw the old man die. He died. We saw a bunch of people at the carnival died. They died. A lot of people died. Caitlin, not dying. She's being charged up to become the corpse bride. Yeah.
Yeah. She's getting filled with grief energy, I guess. Because, like, you know, when it showed us the vision through Deathstorm's eyes, there were only the people that he killed were the people that had the glowy, like, energy in them, which I'm assuming is just, is there grief or something like that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Perhaps, yeah. Which is good, so just don't be sad, and that's how you beat Deathstorm.
what did Kramer say? Like, all right, so he's going after anybody who's, you know, he's feeding off grief, so if anybody's sad, maybe like take the day off or something, you know. Be
go,
especially
go
cautious. Right. I hope hopefully no one here has experienced extreme loss or trauma over the last year or so, because that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, and what was it? Not gold member.
Gold finger. What was it? Gold hammer? Goldface! You're talking about Goldface.
Goldface, yes!
Gold! Face. He loves gold!
Goldface, yes. I love gold! Bong and a blitz, smoking a pancake.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, well, Goldface just came into the CCPD and, like, you know, wrecked shop and stuff, and now they're all, you know, having to be like, let's not be... have any grief about any of the bad things that have happened to us when we're a police force that fights metahumans all the time. And
it was,
you know,
yeah, it was interesting because Kramer was kind of talking about just the exhausting nature of, you know, dealing with super crime as a police officer and everything. They called Joe back in, which was odd. I think, why was Joe there?
He's doing, what's the word for it?
Is he consulting?
Yeah. He's like a consultant because he's like, look, I've been here. I've done this before.
Yeah.
And I did it before the Flash was powered up, so, like, it was a bit harder for me, and I think you should just, like, you know, calm down and, like, listen to the experts.
Wow. Wow. No, that is not what he said. Also, on top of that, he did, Joe was not doing this before the Flash powered up. He wasn't fighting metahumans. He was a cop, but he wasn't fighting metahumans.
Well, I mean, he was kind of, you know, in the thick of things with the Flash.
Yeah, with the Flash, and I think that was kind of the whole thing. Is like, hey, you know, CCPD working with the Flash. You know, we're doing this all on the legit, on the up and up, and it's gonna be okay. So that's fun.
Don't investigate any of our numerous crimes that we've done.
Don't look in the basement at Star Labs. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Like, well, that's what it is. When he's giving her advice, he's like, you know, just show up a couple minutes late because the Flash will pretty much do all the work. You know, keep some of the paperwork on hand, and if a couple of metahumans happen to be missing but no longer terrorizing this town, just don't look under Star Labs. You know, just go get a sandwich. You know, like, just take a day.
Yeah.
Don't look there.
And if you happen to be in Star Labs and you happen to go down into the accelerator area, pipeline area, and you do see a skeleton in a chamber, it was there before we got here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that was one of the metahumans that, you know, we just forgot to feed. But, you know.
Well, it's like, oh, Deathstorm, you know, he must have got that one. Like, oh, that's.
But he's not burned. He's just bones. Oh, that's his new power. That's, yeah.
It's like a secondary meta ability. What can I say? Latent. Speaking of freaking secondary abilities, for an episode that had its ups and downs, for me, a high up there is seeing the Flash run on lightning. That was epic.
I have to tell you this. I've been waiting for them to play Ride the Lightning by Metallica for this for 8 seasons and 12 episodes or 11 episodes, and they finally did it. I'm like, he's the Flash, lightning, Ride the Lightning, Metallica, I think did they use another Metallica song or metal song?
I thought it was a cover, man. I could be wrong, but it sounded like a cover to me.
Well, that's the earlier era of Metallica, and so James Hetfield's voice kind of like progresses as they go on. Yeah, Ride the Lightning was one of their earlier albums.
Yeah, well, there you go. No, yeah, it was that's a big get for a relatively so-so episode. You know what I mean?
I thought that was awesome. Yeah, that was super cool. I hear the music and I instantly know. I was like, yes, finally, here it is.
Yeah,
it's been years in the making, but they finally did it. So that was pretty cool.
I loved that. I love that power. I mean, again, it speaks to kind of the whole leveling up of Barry and, you know, where they're taking the character and everything. And I'm just excited, man. That was big. I really, really enjoyed that. I hope we see more of that power in the future. It's a visually stunning way to get around Central City. I think we've seen kind of the top down look of him dashing all around, and you know, the feet, you know, the fast running feet and arms and everything is great. It is great. I'm not going to try to bash that at all. That's classic Flash stuff right there. But man, seeing him like leap and you know, jump on the lightning constructs and everything was fantastic. More of that, please. Pretty awesome.
I kind of thought like for a minute they would do something kind of like how they did with Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman 84, where she like, you know, lashes her whip out and like rides lightning in that way.
Ooh, that was awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I thought they might do something like that where he kind of like a lightning bolt comes down and he can like grab it and pole vault it.
Wow. Yeah. No, that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot cooler than lightning lightsabers. I will say that much. I still thought that was kind of weird.
Most people did. I still think that was awesome. But no, you know what? Actually, now that you think about it, the whole like grabbing and the lightning and throwing it like a javelin, technically Zoom did it in season 2. Because remember, Barry throws the lightning at him and he just grabs it. That was the first time we actually saw somebody interacting with lightning as a construct.
Yeah. And that was okay. That was cool. I mean, that was a pretty cool moment.
It was like one of those like definitive, like, oh, you're not in Kansas anymore. This is not going to be, you know, like, oh, get faster. Oh, you might need to do more than just get faster. But you do need to get faster. So
yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that was pretty epic. Speaking of epic, man, the greatest story arc of all time. We need to get into it. Iris has time sickness. This right here, man, this has been a nail biter. This is edge of my seat every single week. Looking forward to getting a further explanation of the fact that she has time sickness. And I think it's a bold move that they're doing with this arc, which is not explaining anything nor really building up too much of the tension and kind of seemingly making up the rules as they go along. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Well, you know,
and then the only person who knew anything about it, Dion, is now afflicted by it, and he's gone.
He's gone.
So
yep.
Any chance that we did have of, you know, gaining any knowledge or anything like that is gone. And so now we're even more in the dark. And yeah, you know, this storyline is kind of feeling to me like, have you been watching Halo?
I have been watching Halo. In fact, I don't know if you know this, Bell, but we have been putting out Halo mini episodes every single week that there's been a new episode of the Halo.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah. We're gonna do a big episode of it, but I've been doing like these like 9-minute shorts that I've been putting out on the feed.
Nice. Well, yeah, but the time sickness storyline is reminding me of the girl's story.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Where, like this most recent episode, they didn't have any of that at all, and I thought it was one of the most like the best episodes of the season.
Yeah, you know what? Interestingly enough, I did appreciate that. Like, I was actually kind of like prepping myself to cringe if that story had come back on. This was not my favorite episode of the season, but you know what? We'll talk about it when we get there. We'll, Halo TV talk coming at you soon. In the meantime, yeah. Enjoy that Halo minis for sure. But no, I hear exactly what you're talking about. Yes, same type of deal. It's kind of like, why?
You know? If they would move it along, like if we could have had an episode where Iris is in the Still Force, and like we get some sort of explanation as to what's going on for her, and there's something different, but instead it's just Sue and Iris, and they don't want to touch her, and it's I don't know. I'm just like we have no more information. It's just kind of boring at this point. It's like pull her into the Still Force. Have some kind of like neat thing, like when Barry went to the Speed Force, when the Speed Force was dying,
right?
Like do something like that with Iris. I don't know. Well, do something cool.
The other thing too is Cecile keeps like, oh Barry, you're in so much pain. Yes, it's Iris. She disappeared, and you know it's kind of bumming me out. I'm like, what? that we would that's a season that's like what drove the season for a couple years back. Like there's like, oh yeah, she just disappeared, so it's kind of bumming me out. Like really?
Yeah,
the greatest love story of all time. Like come on guys, yo, something better than this.
Scene together, you know.
We've talked about it before, and I mean like we've talked about it before, but I mean like that's the thing, like it's like y'all just setting Candace up with these terrible story arcs. This is terrible. This is awful. I liked her as team leader. I liked her as a journalist. I liked her like with especially like the upgraded citizen and all that kind of good stuff, but like this right here is just like, what are you doing?
I mean, are they trying to give her something more substantial? But like, this is what they went with.
There is going to be a story at some point. I don't know what it is, but there's something going on there. There's definitely something going on there. But anyway, we'll see. There are rumors now about that perhaps she will not be returning for next season.
Really?
There are rumors that thus is the case. So I don't know. We will have to see. But man,
I mean, it makes sense. Like, you know.
This is just a terrible story. Like, again, this is just bad writing. It's bad writing. It's odd. It makes no sense. It's not exciting. Like, you know, and there's ways if like, so like, that's the thing. What is this for? That's kind of the question I keep on asking myself when I watch it. Like, what is this for? Like, well, okay, well, let's say the time sickness is kind of a driving factor here. There's so many different kind of interesting ways they could play around with that. You know, like, you know, I kind of threw out the concept of a time pandemic that might actually speak to maybe, you know, processing the last 2 years in art, you know, and kind of like there's a lot of ways they could play with that. Not really going with that. That doesn't seem to be the purpose. The time sickness itself doesn't really seem to have to do with anything. It could be the twins, but at the same time, they don't really seem to be driving to that. Maybe that might explain it. It really just seems as a sole purpose of giving Iris something to do separate from the rest of the team. And that feels weird. It just feels weird. And so I don't know. I don't know if like Grant and Candace just don't get along or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But
yeah, or if it's Candace and some other cast members, I don't know.
Well, then get rid of the other cast members like that. Like that. If that's the case, that's an easy one. Like just get rid of the other cast member, like put the other cast member off on some like sideline adventure. Or if it's, you know, again, one of the newer ones, then they can kind of, you know.
I was starting to think that it might have been Candace and Grant having some issues, especially this episode when she's like, no, don't touch me. I might disappear you. And I was like, oh, okay. So they're going to make it so that they're just, you know.
They can't even touch now. There's problems, yo. Like, that's what it is. I've got to imagine that's what it is. Because any other cast member, just get the cast. Like, just do the cast member goes off on a side adventure and, you know, we'll kind of roll our eyes. But Candace is like, or Iris is rather too tight with the story. Like she is not expendable.
she should be tighter with the story.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, but you know, she really hasn't been recently.
Well, they're treating her as expendable. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All these other characters, like almost every single other character on the show other than Grant are far more expendable than she is. And so it's an odd choice. It's frustrating to see. And I know that like there's a whole like section of the quote unquote fan base that just really does not like her. And y'all, what is wrong with you people? come on, y'all. Like, I don't like bad writing, and that's what's happening with her character right now. And that's it's frustrating, and it seems contrived for some reason that doesn't seem to make sense. You know, you mentioned the girl. Like, that's the one thing that I don't quite get, because like I don't understand the whole girl plot line on Halo. Like, where are we going with this? Like, who? Like,
why is this important?
Exactly. They're not really explaining why this is important. With
the Covenant, you know, at your borders, and there's this artifact that they're after, and it's going to, you know, determine the fate of the universe. Why do I care about her and her resistance?
Yeah. They may pull something at the very tail end of the season where it's like all of a sudden like, oh, she was that, or oh, this is this, and it'll like totally recontextualize everything. But anyway, at least with that, there has to be a story reason. Here, it feels like there has to be another reason because the story's just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Greatest television arc of all time. Iris has time sickness. Okay. Man, I will say, though, at the end, it did kind of set up something big. And we got to talk about this. But before we get into some speculation, man, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Speedster Speculation.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow.
Hold on. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man, we got Eddie has returned as a creep. Creep, creep, creep. He's
well,
a creeper now.
I don't know. A creeper, maybe. Maybe he's Deathstorm. I don't know. My guess is Deathstorm.
He's definitely Deathstorm. Yeah, no, he's 100% Deathstorm.
And finally, they're bringing Iris back into the main storyline. Like, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. She can't touch anybody, and people can't be around her. But sure, yeah, no, she's here. She's kind of here. She's here. Yeah. But no, so we got her, Eddie popping up and everything else like that. I'm wondering, okay, so the whole reason why Deathstorm is appearing to these people as their you know, kind of grieved, you know, the missing loved ones. Hey, you know what, that's the other thing that, okay, I don't want to just talk about this, but I'm like, all right, look, so she's supposed to be grieving Eddie? Really? Like she's getting marital problems at home and now she's grieving the ex? Really? Was that what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why it doesn't really make sense. But like, why else would he be there?
I mean,
he did get pulled into the black hole. Remember his body got pulled into the singularity.
Oh, Bell. Yeah, he was there before. He was the first.
Yeah, he went in there before Eobard even disintegrated.
So maybe it's not Deathstorm.
Maybe it's Eddie Storm.
It's Eddie Storm. And if she sues him, it would be a Sue Storm.
It's a Eddie Current.
Interesting, Bell. Interesting. So perhaps not Deathstorm. I mean, it could have just been, you know, we saw that Deathstorm is still doing the thing. We saw Esperanza like popped up to fight Allegra. And we're like, okay, well, this is just a manifestation. So it's very possible that it's just a manifestation, just like Chester's dad. But at the same time, I had not considered the fact that Eddie was the first to go into the singularity. And
yes,
so maybe,
was.
Huh. What? Oh, okay. Here's another one. What if Deathstorm is Eddie?
No, Deathstorm is the grief of Ronnie.
No, Deathstorm is grief incarnate, right? And it attached to Ronnie, but Eddie was there first.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's Cobalt Blue.
I don't know. That's Eobard thought. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's Eobard. It's Eobard. It's got to be Eobard. Yeah, I mean, I'm still thinking it might be Deathstorm or manifestation of Deathstorm, and it might have something to do with Eddie going into the black hole, and maybe he is like back in this, in the same way that Deathstorm came back. I don't know how he'd be alive because he killed himself. You know, maybe it's something where he just kind of came back because of what Deathstorm was doing with opening these portals and stuff. And so he's just like, I'm alive now and not dead, but I'm actually Eddie.
He's the Starman, man.
He's a Starman
waiting there for you in the sky. This is Eddie Thorn to Barry Allen. His hire is still there with you. Does she want to get back with me?
Yeah. Major Ed to ground control.
He's a dead man waiting in the singularity. Deathstorm brought him back, or maybe not.
We'll see.
We'll see.
My first inclination is Deathstorm, right? Because I mean, that's just what he does. That's kind of his MO. And my off the wall kind of weird theory is that he is back in the same way that Deathstorm is back, except for instead of, you know, needing this device to make him whole again, he's just back and alive for whatever reason. Because OMG science, you know, singularity kept him alive and his body knit together in space. he's Dr. Manhattan. He like Dr. Manhattan himself back together.
Well, so I, you know, that could be, I mean, like, I would love that as kind of a cobalt blue angle for him. I think that would have been cool. It would be awesome. You know, so if this, if like the Deathstorm kind of arc is kind of the closeout of like the, I guess this graphic novel, it'd be interesting if Eddie came back as Cobalt Blue as a result to the, of this, as kind of a villain, especially since we saw at the very beginning of the season, the kids like messing around with Eddie. So it's possible that the kids come back, Eddie comes back, he's Cobalt Blue, the kids have to clean it up and team up with their dad. And Iris is, I don't know, she's got a Steel Force flu or something. I don't know what's going on.
Time sickness.
Okay, here we go. That's the speech speculation. What do y'all think? Is this Eddie, or is this just another manifestation of Deathstorm? Let us know your thoughts. All right, man, we got some listener feedback this week from a longtime listener, Lena. Now, Lena actually wrote in and has got like multiple episode like feedback. There's some confusion about our email account and everything. Hopefully we got that all cleared up. It's now available on the website and all that kind of good stuff. So by the way, if y'all want to send in your thoughts, send them in show@tvtalk.fm. That's show@tvtalk.fm. So man, what you want to read this one from Lena?
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. This is Lena again, the person with DID who has written you a couple times before. I wanted to share my thoughts on some recent episodes of The Flash. First of all, I've been loving the fact that the show is focusing a lot on mental health these last couple seasons and doing so in a realistic and empathetic way. In episode 9, Phantoms, in which Affleck was the bomb, that was me saying that, not Lena.
I thought that was Lena getting in on it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No. I had to insert that in there because every time I see the word Phantoms, I have to say Affleck was the bomb.
He was the bomb. He would have been, but they didn't cast him.
He would have been. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to start that sentence over. In episode 9, Phantoms, you guys were saying that it was odd that they were talking about Chester's grief for his father again when they've already resolved that issue. But if I remember right, the main issue that they resolved in the previous issue was Chester's anger at his father. I myself have had experience dealing with grief over family members who have hurt me. And the thing is, once you finally let go of the anger, it changes the nature of the grief. And it almost feels like starting the grieving process over again. That's so to me, it made sense that Chester would still be struggling with his grief. And of course, now that we know that Deathstorm was specifically targeting people who knew Caitlin, it made more sense that Chester would be targeted. That does make a lot of sense. I didn't think about it in that framework.
No, that's a good framework. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So like he has forgiven his father. And so therefore, like, cause he hated his father previously. Now he doesn't hate his father. And so now there's a chance for him to actually grieve for his father as opposed to just hating him. So that does make sense. Okay. So mea culpa, you know, that was our bad. So that does make sense. So I'll give you that one.
I dig it.
And here we go. This is the next bit. Also, I found in episode 10, Reckless, to be very intriguing. I must admit, I have mixed feelings about Caitlin and Frost being in separate bodies now. On the one hand, I'm happy for the fictional characters within their fictional world. If we could separate ourselves into separate physical bodies and not have to live in one shared mind body, that would be a dream come true. And I think most other DID systems would agree with me on that. But on the other hand, by doing that, it seems like they have undone the good representation of a plural person that Caitlin Frost portrayed. Even though they weren't technically DID, it was similar enough that it had the potential to show viewers that multiple-minded people didn't always have to be evil murderers like so many horror movies have portrayed.
It's kind of coded as such, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there is an example in media where there isn't, like, where it's DID and whatnot is like, shown as not this, like, you know, oh, evil murderer kind of stuff. Most representations.
Have you not been watching Moon Knight?
Are you kidding?
You have not been watching Moon Knight, have you?
I have been watching Moon Knight. You're telling me that not Steven. What is Mark?
I'm talking about Mark.
Mark is a murderer, is he not?
Yeah, but like Mark is. I mean, like. But not like a psychopath, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, fair point. But still, like,
you technically, know, Frost is supposed to be. I mean, like, you know, there's a, you know,
yeah.
Anyway,
but
so yeah, like,
yeah, yeah.
Keep rolling. Yeah, good
so
stuff.
Keep rolling here. But having said that, I also find it fascinating that Frost specifically still has some thoughts and attitudes that are similar to an alter in a DID system. Even though all alters are equally real, it's not uncommon for those of us like myself who do not share the same name and appearance of the physical body to feel like that makes us less real. It doesn't help that we are purposefully portrayed as being less real and more like one-note caricatures in most fictional media about DID. But anyway, I believe that was probably the real reason that Frost seemed not to be valuing her own life enough. It's not that she was suicidal, but more that she didn't think of herself as a full-fledged person in her own right, just a quote bodyguard for Caitlin.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
we should like pause here real quick, because like that, like, we should talk about that from this episode, because she was like, yep, nope, dad made me for this one purpose, and everybody's like, cool, we're gonna go with that. I'm like, I thought that, like, didn't we just cover this? Like, no, like, don't. I mean, like, I do appreciate the whole, like, ride or die for Caitlin thing. Like, that's cool. I do understand that. But the whole, like, you know, I have one purpose, to destroy the world of men or whatever, you know, like the, whatever it is. Like, it's like, I don't know that that's true. I do wonder though, Belle, if by the end of this, we may see the death of Caitlin. There's some people are speculating we may see through this the death of Frost. I don't think that's the case. I think we may see the death of Caitlin and the rise of Frost from that standpoint. Because if that is the case, if that's like kind of the arc that she's on right now, where it's like, oh, I don't have purpose beyond Caitlin, like, I don't have value, which isn't true. Like, she's happy, she's cool, she's got a good relationship with Chilblain. And so, you know, I mean, well, you know, as good of a relationship as that one's going to be, you know, like, she's doing all right. She's doing good. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Keep rolling.
So yeah, to continue, she was thinking more in terms of her former role in the system than her own life as a person in the external world. I think Caitlin's mother also was having difficulty accepting Frost as her own person separate from Caitlin, and that's why she wasn't acting like a mother to her at first. That's why I thought it was very touching when she finally realized that she was Frost's mother too and started treating her as a daughter. I was really impressed by how much these interpersonal dynamics felt like what would really happen if an alter in a DID system suddenly got their own separate body. That's a really interesting and unique take.
Interesting perspective, yeah.
Yeah, very cool perspective. Because, you know, like, as a someone who doesn't have DID, like, I see it in one way, and, you know, it was but it's really neat to see that perspective from someone with DID to kind of pull those things together, because they make more sense, right? Like, that explanation right there makes perfect sense as to why, you know, Caitlin's mother and what Frost was doing, you know, why she didn't value her life and stuff like that. That's really, really neat.
Although she did kind of walk the line, because that was her whole deal, was she's like, I'm ready to do this for Katie. And they're like, oh no, you're depressed. And she's like, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. Like, you know, like, yeah. I got, you know, not to compare boyfriends here, but have you seen Chilblain? We're like, well, we've heard him talk. And she's like, yeah, but I don't care about that. You know, like, she's doing all right.
Yeah.
She's getting her, she's doing okay. But then, you know, she does bust out that same line about, like, well, dad created me to protect Caitlin, and so that's what I'm about to do. And so I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out for sure.
Yeah. So continuing on, as for episode 11, Resurrection, well, that was quite the emotional roller coaster. They built our hopes up that Caitlin might get her husband back, and then that ending, oof, brutal. For what it's worth, I think you guys were both right in a way. It was Deathstorm, yeah. But not Ronnie, or was it? Dun, dun, dun. Lena actually wrote out the doodle 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 do.
Well done. Yes, 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 yes.
Well, yeah, mad points for that. That's awesome. and now Lena has some thoughts on the Ezra Miller situation, which was, as for the whole Ezra Miller situation, I just have one thing to say. Hashtag release the Gustin cut. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Listen, that's cool. I feel that. I feel that. But let's all be real. It ain't happening. It'd be great, but it ain't happening.
Yeah.
But I feel it. I feel it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And after all of this insightful commentary, I think the last bit here that we'll get into is a very, very well-deserved plug. And so here we go.
Yeah. I think this is very much allowed. This is quality stuff.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And finally, if I may, I would like to add a little shameless plug. For a while now, I've been partnering with the good folks over at Into the Night, the Moon Knight podcast, writing articles and Facebook posts for them about the representation of DID in Moon Knight comics, and now the TV series. So for anyone who may be interested in that, feel free to check it out on your podcaster of choice. I'm also looking forward to hearing what you guys think of the Moon Knight TV series also. Thank you for continuing to provide such great, entertaining podcast, Lena.
Thank you, Lena. I am very much excited to do a Moon Knight TV talk.
I've been really enjoying Moon Knight. It's been really good.
So help me out with this. Are we down to the last episode, or do we have two episodes left with Moon Knight?
I think there were six episodes, but I saw a tweet, and I don't know if it's a joke or not, because, you know, you're not supposed to believe everything on the internet, but like...
Is it the three-hour thing?
Yes, it can't be right.
That can't be right. That can't be right. They're messing with us, man. Like, that's movie. Like, that's a Moon Knight gets like a full on like trilogy franchise in terms of the run. No, come on, man. Really?
But there's so much to. If they try to wrap it up in 45 minutes, all the stuff that they have left, like I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sure it'll be an hour. I think they've got the time for it. But no, I think that they can wrap it up. They can wrap it. I think what we'll end up seeing, this is just a quick speculation for Moon Knight, is that I think we're gonna get a tease of who's the third personality.
Well, we got a tease of the third personality. We got the third personality in the coffin in the episode before this most recent one.
That was more of an Easter egg, but I think we'll have more of like a direct tease. With the Scottish cap and the. Or something of that nature, maybe driving a taxi or something. But I think we'll get it. I think we will end this series with a tease of that. I think we will also see his lady friend, whose name is escaping me at the moment. I think that she, his wife, actually, I should say, is. I think she'll end up. I think she'll end up being the Moon Knight at the end of this. I think I think Stephen and Mark, will say goodbye to her. They'll go their separate ways. And she'll end up becoming the new Moon Knight by the end of it. And then we'll get a tease, like, you know, kind of post credits of, you know, the post credits for this is going to be one of two things. It might be two things. I think the post credits will probably be a more direct tease of the third personality, which will be directly related to Moon Knight. And then I think we'll probably also see Gore the God Butcher showing up and killing one of the, you know, Egyptian gods.
Oh, yeah.
That's my guess.
This is a one and done thing, though. There's not going to be a second season of Moon Knight, from what I understand.
Well, no. So what they have said is that Oscar Isaac only has a single deal for this series, like for this season.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which is why I'm more on the line of like, yeah, he's probably not going to continue. Like, they're not going to get rid of Moon Knight, but they might not have Oscar Isaac. So I think that she's going to come in and be the new Moon Knight by the end of it. They've kind of teased that anyway with
Khonshu wanting her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's what we're looking at here. Could be wrong, but I'd put some money on it. You know, I'd put some money, not like Iris, you know, pandemic money or anything, but, you know, I'd put some money on it.
What do you mean, like, so that's the thing, right? Like they have to stop
crocodile-faced killer guy, the Face Off, dude.
Ethan Hunt. There we go.
Gattaca, not Face Off. Yes, Ethan Hunt, of course.
Yeah, they got to stop Ethan Hunt. In order to do that, they're gonna have to free Khonshu, and so like, there's all these things they're gonna have to do that. And like, I feel it's just gonna be really rushed. Unless they don't free Khonshu and they find a way to defeat him, other than that, and then Moon Knight's just over, and the tease will be whoever's gonna play Moon Knight next freeing Khonshu.
I don't think there's that. I don't think there's as much to wrap up there. I think it's they're going to kind of explain, you know, the whole, purgatory asylum thing. I guess they've kind of already pseudo explained the whole purgatory asylum thing. And he's going to be out there doing his thing with the crocodile people. And it's going to be like, oh, we're going to come back. And they're going to be on the spectral plane, and there's Khonshu, and he's like, oh, we got to get back there. And then Mrs. Mark, Lady Anna Jones, whatever her name is, I'm blanking on her name. I'm sorry. She comes in, and Khonshu's like, I can bring Mark back, but you know, he's got to be the Moon Knight. And she's like, nah,
bring Steven back, because Steven was the one who fell in the sand.
Right. I can bring Steven back. Well, no, but yeah. Mark's in heaven. Like they're both not in the mortal realm at the moment.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those things. They all got to come back. And so she's like, okay, you can do it. But like, here's the deal. I'm going to be Moon Knight. And he's like, all right, here you go. Boom, you're Moon Knight. And then she shows up. She's like, bam, bam, bam. And then all of a sudden, Steven and Mark come back. And then what's going to end up happening is you're going to have kind of like this, astral projection type of spectral, you know, battle of the gods, where you have her Moon Knight, Mark's Moon Knight, and Steven's Moon Knight, the three Moon Knights all going at Crocodile McGillicuddy, whatever his name was, Hector.
Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee.
Gattaca,
dude.
Yeah.
That's Crocodatica. There's a crocodile man waiting in the sky. David Bowie. That's what it is. He's David Bowie. Why? Because. Anyway, all right, that's it for this week. We'll have some good Moon Knight TV talk coming your way, as well as some Halo TV talk. We got some good stuff, man. I mean, not to mention, we got a Multiverse of Madness. It's just, I don't even know how we're going to get all this content in, man. It's going to be crazy.
I know, right? Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
That's going to be crazy. But anyway, it's coming at you. Hey, we want to hear your thoughts. You can always write into the show. Like I said, it's show@tvtalk.fm is the email address. You can also check out all the information at tvtalk.fm. It's the website. Follow Bell at Ring That Bell is the place to do it. You can also follow the show at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.